As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello.
What's up, Devin? What do you got for us today?
My predecessor in this job left a man named Charles Grady as the winter caretaker, and he came up here with his wife and two little girls. I think we're 11 and 10. And he had a good employment record, good references, and from what I've been told, he seems like a completely normal individual. But at some point during the winter, he must have suffered some kind of complete mental breakdown. He ran amok and killed his family with an axe, stacked them neatly in one of the rooms in the West Wing, and then he put down both barrels of a shotgun in his mouth. I messed that up a little bit, but do you know what that's from?
Well, it sounds like The Shining. So, but The Shining, at least the movie, I've never read the book, but the movie has the son and the wife and then the husband as the caretaker.
Right.
But is that like, is that the original, like, is that The Shining, the book has the two?
Well, in the beginning... the guy who's hiring Jack Torrance tells Jack Nicholson about this, right? It's like up until this point, everything's real friendly. And he's like, yeah, all right, you know, we want you to do this job. And he's like, yeah, you know, I can do it, blah, 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 I'm ready. And then he says, I don't suppose they told you anything in Denver about the tragedy we had in the winter of 1970. And I don't believe they did. And it goes... And he tells them all about it.
Don't believe they did.
I wanted to pick a spooky quote because it's October and we're getting into the fall mood. But I also wanted to talk about preparation and how do you prepare for something that you have no understanding about, and how do you prepare for something that could go wrong. I guess maybe just the first point that you have no idea what can happen. You're preparing for anything.
Right. Yeah. That's a good one. And like with that, relating back to the quote, you know, it's talking about, he's like telling him a story about this previous tragedy. So does that, like, obviously it's some type of, you know, it denotes or like talks about what's going to happen in the future. It's foreshadowing,
right.
But
did
that story stick in his mind in a way that could like then make him do it or think about it, you know? Like
Right.
Did by leading with that story push him to do something like that? Or you know, would it would have happened anyway? And it's like it's almost like you know, if you talk to somebody and you tell them something that it's already happened, then they've got in their mind that this type of thing might happen. Or if you say, we're going to go camping, and last time we were there, we saw bears, and, you know, and like, Dave chopped his foot with an axe and cut himself pretty good, and we had to leave early, and, you know, the bears got in our food. So, like, when you go, are you now in the mindset that there's going to be bears and there's going to be axes,
right.
So more likely to happen?
Yeah, or someone, like, lets you, hey, man, I got this Corvette. I'm going to let you drive it. Man, that thing goes. You got to be careful, but that thing takes off. Someone got hurt, but you can really go fast in that thing. Are you more likely to stomp down on the pedal even though you know what can happen?
Right. Right, because if you said, like, that thing goes, like, you hit the pedal and it'll go super fast, right? Mm-hmm. Then you're going to test it. But that doesn't get rid of the fact that tons and tons of people every day, every year, get in car crashes, right? So it's not the fact that you don't know that it happens. It's the fact that it's not associated with that story about what's happened in the past. So does that story push you into, like, doing something that you wouldn't normally do or, you know, affect the outcome of the of your like, next steps?
Right. And in the movie, obviously, it's – well, in the book, the idea that it's kind of the the paranormal kind of helped move him there. In the movie, it's a little bit more mental. Maybe he also had a breakdown, but then stuff turns, obviously. But I wanted to bring it up because we're preparing to go on this trip, and it's difficult to figure out what to bring.
Right.
And I know some people had, I mean, there's been no murders before that I know of. Or we're going to get that when we show
up. Blackthorn Resort, yeah, right.
Someone's going to say, I didn't suppose they told you anything about last year. And we'll go, no, what happened?
And that, you mean when everyone got naked and danced around the giant fire? Well, we didn't know about that one.
In your very campsite.
Come walking up naked, like, hey, isn't this what we're doing?
Hey.
I guess that's not predicting the future.
You put that in my head. I don't know.
Yeah, so we are going up to... Sorry about that, coughing in the mic. We are going up to Blackthorn Resort up in East Durham, New York for the Maker Camp this weekend. So, exciting stuff. And, yeah, so I actually, the Maker Camp, the Blackthorn Resort, their Instagram, they have an Instagram that's for the Blackthorn, but they also have one that's specifically for Maker Camp, which is the Maker at the Maker Camp. And they recently posted an actual list of what to bring to Maker Camp. So it's like, what do you need to bring? And so the list goes like this. It says, one is positive attitude. No negative Nellies will be allowed through the gates. Number two is eye protection. We will have PPE available if you don't have any. Number three is ear protection. We will have PPE available if you don't have any. Number four is hand tools. Got a favorite hammer, ice pick, etc., bring it. Number five is warm clothes. This is an outdoor event in the Catskill Mountain. It might get cold. Number six is work gloves. Maker Camp is a hands-on event. Protect those hands. And number seven is appropriate footwear. Closed-toed shoes are required for entry into any of the event tents. So pretty simple, you know, they're basically telling you, like, this, we want you to participate, we want you to be part of what's going on, so come with a good attitude, eye protection, ear protection, hand protection, warm clothes, work gloves, your favorite tool, and appropriate footwear.
Right.
So I like that. I thought it was a really good post because it was like what to bring, and basically that list foreshadows the fact that it is a hands-on event, which is really exciting.
So that is the list for you. Right. And kind of for me, but not for me.
Well, you know it is. I mean, you're still going to be part of the Maker community.
Right. But I will need all those things, but I also need everything else.
Right.
Like, I've been going back and forth and thinking, I have a big camera bag, but I'm not going to carry that everywhere. So maybe I'll take one of my small backpacks and throw my camera gear in that.
Right.
But then I go in between wanting, well, I should capture a lot of it, and going, well, I want to participate. Like, I don't want to be the guy just standing around shooting. I mean, these people understand because they're all makers, and half of them are content creators.
Yeah, whether that's YouTube or Instagram.
Right. Like, so everyone's going to be having their phones out. It's like, it's not just going to be me.
Right.
So I'll be doing that, but how much of it do I do, and what exactly do I need to bring along? What things can I trust? What gear can I trust? So we were thinking we need a second camera, and we've been thinking about getting a GoPro for a while just to have a second camera around it and different angles. But so I finally went out and got it, and we agreed which one we would get. And so I went in going, did the GoPro research and said, well, I want, you know, 4K, shoots 24 frames, and it also has this hyper smooth, like, steady cam feature, kind of, you know, crops in just a little bit, but they're getting better and better to where they really look good. Right. So even if you're holding it and you're running, it'll be nice. It'll be real, real smooth.
That's awesome. That's so crazy. Yeah. Yeah, so you like walk around an event and everything will be like nice and smooth.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It'll look like really nice. Super.
That's awesome.
So I went in going to get the Hero 8 Black, and right next to him was an open box, and the Hero 8 is 300 and the Hero 9
in the open box
is 400.
Oh. Okay. Right.
Yeah, and the Hero 9 usually is 400.
Right.
But so I see the Hero 8, and the Hero 9 has extra accessories. It has, like, another mount, and it has a little case to carry stuff in.
Right.
And I call someone over. I'm like, hey, how much is this open box? And it was $311. So nice. for $11 more, we got the newer version with a carrying case.
What's the newest version? Is the 9 the newest?
10 is the newest. But they've been coming out with them so quick. I think the 9's only like 7 months old, so.
Oh, right on. Yeah. We can do that.
But they're all good. The only really improvements I could tell was there's a front screen, so you can get your shot level if you're kind of vlog style pointing at yourself.
Right. So and is that like a screen that turns around and faces front, or that's just a screen on the front as well as on the back?
It's a screen on the front as well as the back.
Dang.
So all next right. to the cool. lens is about an inch square screen.
Right. So you get a little thumbnail version of yourself, mm-hmm. so you can frame in your shot.
Yeah. I've already adjusted it. We'll see. I'm probably going to have it turned off to save battery and just so we're not staring at ourselves, or you're not staring at yourself.
Look at the lens, not the screen.
Right, not the screen. So there's that. And apparently it has better battery life. So it had another screen and better battery life. So
nice.
That was cool. So I got that, and I got all the accessories, got a little tripod. I was messing around with it today. I'll shoot some stuff tomorrow just to make sure it's all working, and I know it looks good, and I can work with it and edit it, and then that'll probably be your camera for the weekend.
Yeah, right on.
And I figure you can just... I attached that little tripod. It's like 4 inches. It's like a handle, and then they can spread it out, and it can extend up.
Oh, sweet.
So you can kind of hold it out or sit it down if we want to do a time lapse, but really, anytime you want, I figure you'll just have that in your pocket and pull it out and shoot some stuff, and yeah.
That's sweet. Yeah, right on. I like it.
Yeah, it's real nice.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously we'll be there for, 3 days, I guess, total, right? Because we'll get there on Friday, midday. We'll be there all Friday night, all Saturday, all Sunday, and then leave on Monday. So we'll have 2 full days and then 2 partial days. I think the other thing is, I think in your mind, you're thinking you want to participate, but you also want to capture a lot of what's happening. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we don't need 10 hours of footage. I mean, like, maybe we do, but, you know, we can capture it in, say, 4 or 5 hours of footage to make sure we have enough stuff, you know, capture a little bit of everything and get some, like, pictures and get some video and, you know, try to put together a video. But also, I think it's really, like, the great part about this is that it is a really hands-on thing where we're going to be interacting with a lot of people who, you know, we know of, either, you know, have talked to or interacted with or just know of through the maker community or have never heard of, you know. So it's pretty fun. I'm excited to get there and just to be a part of this event, which I was listening to the Fitzall podcast, which is Jimmy DiResta, Blacksmith Tools, which is Andrew, I can't remember his last name.
He is that's another full-time podcast?
It's not really full-time. But, okay. I'll get to that in a second. And then the third person is Hand Tool Rescue. So the three of them do the Fitzall podcast, which is just about like geeking out over tools and whatnot. And they're just fun and funny. And the difference between that and the Making It podcast, which is Jimmy and Bob and Dave, that's a much more clean podcast. They have their kind of schedule is weekly. They talk about what they're doing. They talk about, you know, their videos, They go into a little bit of a theme, but it's really like nice and clean and even, you know, they do this really good podcast, which I love. It's one of my favorite ones. The Fits All podcast is like three guys, you know, there's no like editing. They're like crass, they're cussing, they're like ragging on each other. It's really funny. And they're just talking about random stuff, which is just great. So, and it's funny. They were like, Jimmy was like, people will say to him like, oh, did that podcast get canceled? And he's like, well, yeah, I mean, it's canceled until we do the next episode. So they just like, they do it when they can. I think the last one they did was back in March or something. And then the one before that was in like December. And before that, it was like they were doing a little more consistently. So it's kind of like when they can all get together and do it. But I really like listening right. to that. And Jimmy was talking about it again, just saying how much fun it is. Where at Maker Camp, it's like, you know, people are just there hanging out and working the whole time. There's no like, okay, it's 7:30, it's time to turn the lights off and everyone go to bed. You know, there's none of that. Like, people would be working all through the night and hanging out and drinking and going to a fire and having a party. And it's just a giant, like they said, like a Woodstock of maker events because everyone's just there to have a great time. And so you get a lot of this, like, more intimate conversations and experiences because it's not just, you know, presenters and people going to the event are separate and, you know, there's gates. Like, everything's open. Everything's hands-on. Everything is, like, we're all one giant maker community. Now, how long that'll last that way is different, you know? Maybe it'll last, maybe it'll always be like that. But, you know, compared to what it had 2 years ago when they actually had the physical event to now, I think it's going to be at least twice or three times as many people there, which still is pretty small. I think it's only going to be 300 or 400 people, maybe 500 people, depending on who's all going. But that compared to something like a big maker event or a big, you know, con or something where there's like 10,000 people, you know, it's a little different. So as it gets bigger, it might get a little bit more restrictive. But for now, I think it's going to be really awesome. I'm super excited. So.
Yeah, I just don't want to put people off by me, like, having a camera. I mean, like I said, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who will have their phones out and their GoPros and their good gear, and there'll be camera people walking around. But I just want to, I want to make sure not to be like, I don't know, maybe like your camera guy.
Yeah,
not for my own, like, because I want to be seen. It's just because I don't want to scare people off. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you see someone being followed around with a camera, usually people clear out of the way.
Right, yeah.
Like, people usually will just move out because they think you're doing something. Even if your goal is to just show footage of you walking around the area, people clear out and people get awkward. And they, like, look at you and they go, oh, and they duck out of the way and make themselves more obvious. Like, like, just stand there. You don't have to make a big scene. Like, oh, now that shot's ruined, but.
Right. Yeah, and I think, you know, like you said, because this is a maker event where the majority of the people there are going to be content creators, there's going to be a lot of people with cameras around. And so even still, like, there's still that awkwardness when someone walks up to you with a camera and you're like, oh, if you're in the way, or, oh, did I get in your way, or, like, oh, this is not a good shot of me, or, like, people change because now you're being captured on film, you know, like, whether you want to or not. But I think, you know, I think that's just kind of the mindset of the people that are there, and maybe it's the way you're going around. You know, you might not be following me. Maybe you're capturing some of what's happening. You're capturing some of me. I'm taking some pictures. I'm doing video. I think it'll just be kind of everyone's kind of doing their thing. And I think people, especially makers who are content creators, get used to the cameras being on and everyone's just working. You know, I might suck in my gut a little bit more, but other than that, it's like, other than that, it's pretty, I think a lot of people that do that are used to the cameras rolling somewhere.
Yeah. So. We just have to find a good way to do it. I'm still thinking about how I want to edit it and what it should be. And
right.
But the good thing about a 6-hour drive or 5-hour drive is we have plenty of time to talk about it.
Yes, we do. Yeah. And so we'll be, I'll be, you know, putting my daughter on the bus at about 6:35 on Friday morning, and then I'll be heading your way. So I'll be over to you before 7. Up to you, I guess should say now.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll hit the road. I'm excited. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So
yeah, I mean, I think preparing for that, you know, we're going to be camping. So We're gonna bring our tents. We're gonna bring, you know, clothes and things. Probably I'll probably bring a couple axes, of course, for splitting firewood and having around the site. You know, maybe a couple more than I normally would, just because that's one of the things I do. I'll bring some extra knives and things just in case people are around. They want to see the gear. And I don't know. I'm like trying to wonder what other things we could bring to like just have as, you know, examples of things that have been made. Because I think that's the other thing. It's just a, it's like a point of pride. There's going to be a lot of people there that are makers. So they're like, oh, what do you got? Oh, what do you have? Let me see what you make. What do you?
Yeah, I was thinking that, and I was like, man, I should bring a good chunk of cash. Because I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, there's some people selling stuff, but there'll be a lot of people with a lot of nice things. And I want to be able to buy something there on the spot and pay for it properly, you know, and what it's worth. Right. So if there's something I really like, I want to be able to get it. So I can't forget that. I got to pick up some cash. And,
right.
Yeah, I would say for you, yeah, just bring extra stuff because, you know, maybe people will want to trade and do stuff or check your stuff out or buy your, like, anything. Like, it'll be cool.
Yeah. No, I'm really excited. Like I said, I'll bring a selection of stuff that we've made and stuff that I've, you know, made, and you know, we'll see. It's funny because there's a lot of people who are posting about things they're bringing. I'm like, are all these people like presenting? Are they gonna have tables, or is, I guess it's just like they're just gonna be carrying stuff around? I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
It's gonna be a lot of
just having some stuff.
Go ahead. Oh, it's gonna be a lot of people in long jackets, just flashing their wares.
Walking around with like duffel bags full of, you know, tchotchkes. Like, check out all these things I've made. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I think it's when you get that many people of that are like-minded together, it could go anywhere. You know, it could be like, like it could be everyone brings something out that they want to show, or like it's like something like the maker swap where everyone's going to be like putting in something and getting something back. Or the big, they're going to be building a big, giant, like, wooden dinosaur, which then will have a huge bonfire on Saturday night.
And, a little, like, little know, the... Burning Man style, huh?
Exactly, right. A little Burning Man, you know.
Should we awesome. Should we dress up in, like, weird steampunk hippie wear? Like a Burning Man, wear, like, a weird a windmill bike or something?
Come rolling in to get
sell acid or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he did. I forget who was talking about that, but someone was like, you're gonna have a burning T-Rex, you're gonna have this and this and this. Like, this is the like Woodstock of maker events. Like, what is going on? It's crazy. You know, somewhere, yeah, Burning Man or like, you know, something crazy. But yeah, I think it's gonna be super fun. I'm really excited. And so we're heading up and we'll be there on Friday. We'll be there the whole time. We'll be camping. I was considering also bringing a couple longbows, but I'm not sure about that. Like,
I was actually shooting today and I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
I mean,
you were
why
shooting
not?
Like archery shooting, or you were filming today and thinking?
Archery.
Oh, right on. Nice.
Yeah.
Shooting your bow?
Outside in the nice big yard now. Yep, shooting my bow. Because it had been sitting out on the porch. Well, it's been on my old apartment, sun porch, and now the new porch has a bunch of stuff on it. Like, all the stuff that was on the sun porch is on the our grandmother's side when she was here. The big porch there. It's all sitting out there. And I realized that my bow was out there. I was just, it's been so foggy and wet the last couple days. So I was like, maybe it shouldn't be out here. And then I was like, yeah, let me shoot it for a while. And I had the dog out and had my daughter out and my dad was around. So we set some stuff up and we're shooting and we're having a real good time. And
I was already acclimated to the, like, the, you know, weather outside.
Like,
stuff. So it's good to go.
Mm-hmm. It's been a beast and it's,
yeah.
I don't know. It is what it is. And it's not super high poundage, you know? So it's not like this crazy, like, on the edge 60, 70 pound bow.
Right.
I feel like it's light enough, knock on wood, that it's light enough that I'm not putting crazy strain on it.
Right, right.
But that's an interesting thought. Do lighter bows, are they less likely to break just because the stress isn't there? Obviously, there's less material there, so You could say maybe that would be one reason they would break, but is a 30-pound bow going to last longer than a 70-pound bow?
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, you have more wood there, so, you know, if there's more wood, then the idea would be there's more strength there. But, you know, maybe it's not. Maybe it's... I don't know. I think it's not necessarily about the weight. I think it's about the tillering. Like if you're tillered even and everything's bending together, then it's all working together. If you like have tillered and you have some, you know, hinge spots where it's bending, well then that area is working a lot more than anything else and it's bending further. So I think, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter the weight of the bow. It's more how finely it's tillered.
Yeah. No, that makes sense because it's almost like you have two cannons. You got a giant, really big hilltop fort cannon that it's really made thick and big, and then you have a cannon on the front or back of a ship, much smaller.
Right.
I mean, either one could probably break, depending, no matter the size and violence of the projectile. Of the
projectile, right, exactly. It's the, like, evenness of the casting that matters. Yeah. So if you're, you know, you're bending, yeah, exactly, yeah, right. So as long as you have, like, an even casting and you're shooting the right, you know, amount of weight out of it or projectile out of it, then it's going to work correctly.
Yeah, so, I had this thought while I was shooting. I was like, well, if it breaks, it breaks. But then I was like, I also had the thought, like, I really don't want this to break.
Like, yeah, right.
My first and only bow. I mean, it could be, right. I'd probably make another one if I broke it, but.
Yeah.
I really like it. Really like it.
Have you noticed, like, is it hinging at all any place or whatever? Is it bending really nicely or
no? It seems. I mean, I know, you know, I haven't looked at it many times in someone else's hands,
right?
So, I love it. It's light. It's not that heavy, but yeah, it's a good bow. You still
ended up at 40 or 45, right? It wasn't. It's not. Like
yeah,
super
yeah. Light, I think maybe 40.
Right, okay.
But I forget the exact number. Could have been 45, 46.
Right. Yeah.
It does a trick, though. It's cool, man.
Yeah. And speaking of that, speaking of bows and archery, I did go to the bow shoot last weekend that we talked about last week on the podcast. So I ended up going on Saturday. And this is the Royal Archery and Trial by Fire event. Is a combination of two things. The Royal Archery was an archery event that they do at the Baltimore Bowmen, and it's put on by the SCA, which is the Society for Creative Anachronism, which we talked about last week, right? So it's like all the people that like to role play and do LARPing and things like that in costume, and so, you know, you had to have a long bow or a crossbow, like a traditional crossbow, more modern crossbow. It's like a wooden crossbow. It had to be wooden arrows and, yeah. So it's a little funny because I, like, myself and Corinne were shooting, Nicole wasn't shooting. But we had I did see one other traditional bow. I saw a U bow, but other than that, like, every other person had a laminate longbow, you know, like fiberglass and wood laminate. You know, like, everyone was a modern longbow.
Right.
I was like, what the heck? Like, I thought these people were, like, you know, traditionalists. Like, okay, so we're the only ones with, like, handmade bows or even just wooden bows. You know, it's like,
right.
I don't know. It's surprising. I was surprised. But, you know, and there was, 75 people there or something, so.
What's the point of then only having wooden arrows?
Right, exactly. I mean, I think you could technically have other, but that was, like, to be able to compete, they had to be wooden. So, like, you could go and shoot, you know, like, fiberglass or carbon arrows or whatever it is, you know, or aluminum arrows. But to compete in the actual Royal Archery competition, you had to be shooting wooden arrows from a traditional longbow or crossbow. So, yeah. So there was, so I said, probably like 60 or 70 people. We all did one big longbow shot in the beginning at, like, long distance. So, like, maybe 100 yards first and then 80 yards and then 60 yards, something like that. We kind of moved forward. And then we broke into smaller groups led by marshals. So they have a bunch of, like, archers that have done it before and then are trained marshals. Basically, they understand, like, the rules and how to do timing and stuff like that. So, yeah, there were probably 50 out of the 70 people who were marshals. So they, you know, it was easy to break up into however many groups we wanted. So we ended up going with the head marshal, named Colum. That was his name. And he was an older guy, and he was the head marshal. So it was like Kryn and I, and he, and then one other guy, Nico, and Nicole was coming along with us. But the four of us went and shot, and I think we shot about 7 or 8 different targets before we had to go. So we didn't end up shooting the entire thing, but basically the whole point was that you would shoot all these different targets with different, like, different rules. You know, some of them were shoot 6 arrows untimed. Some of them were, you know, shoot for 30 seconds, as many arrows as possible. Some were like, you got to shoot at the target and you can only hit one thing that you aim at. Otherwise it doesn't count or it counts against you. Mm. And they had some moving targets. They had a Robin Hood shoot where you had to shoot at an arrow. I mean, at a target that was maybe 50 feet away, and then they had a pool noodle coming straight out from the middle of it. So the point was like to try to split the arrow to try to hit the end of the pool noodle.
I just thought you would shoot at rich people.
Robin Hood. It had a bunch of rich people run through, like the king and queen. Yeah, so we were shooting at that, and that was kind of cool because you had to like try to hit the end of the arrow, and then it was a regular target outside of that. So it was like, you know, 3 points, 2 points, 3, 4, 5, something like that, and the arrow. And actually, I was the only person who hit the end of the arrow on my very last shot. Boom, right in the end of the arrow. I was like, yes, it was awesome. But that was a cool shot. And then, yeah, we did some other stuff, and I was actually doing pretty well. I was keeping, like, I think Cullum and I had about the same amount of points after when we ended up leaving.
Nice.
So I think I was, you know, shooting pretty good, or shooting well enough to probably make it into what they say is the final 16. So you have like the 16 best archers, and then they have a shoot off with those 16 archers to determine who the Royal Archer is for the year until the next Royal Archery event, which is once a year. So I didn't end up competing all the way to the end, but maybe next year. But it was really fun. It was awesome. We, you know, you have to wear the costume. So we didn't take anything. We did just like, they had some kind of tunics that you could put over, and we just belted them around, and we all had like leather belts and, you know, knives and things attached to it, and you know, some accoutrement to make it fun. And, and walked around and shot and hung out and enjoyed, you know, kind of being part of the event, it was really fun, you know, and everyone was like super friendly and really open and excited to spread information and give us, you know, teach us a little bit about the SCA and what it is in this area, you know, like from Maryland, I think down to Georgia is called Atlantia. So it's like the Middle East Coast. And then from Pennsylvania all the way up through Canada, like really high up into Canada, is the East Kingdom. And then they have, you know, and like the rest of the United States is broken into 8 or 10 or 12, 15, something like that, different kingdoms. So we're part of the Kingdom of Atlantia. And the area in which we live in is the Bright Hills, Bright Hills region of Atlantia. So it's pretty cool. It was fun. And, you know, the people that were there were really excited about it. And like I said, just willing to talk and tell us all about it. And, you know, and then also be really open about like the information of like where they lived in real life and what they call it in the, you know, SCA and what their real names are and what their SCA names are and when they got into it and the kind of widespread, how wide, like, the SCA is spread across the world now. You have people like from all over the world are participating, and you know, people from like Japan who are, you know, they're like samurais and stuff. And so it's kind of cool. You get all these different people who are kind of who are LARPing from this time period from like 1600 back. You know, that's kind of like as the early as they come is like the 1600s. So,
well, if they did, if the Japanese did Japan, you'd almost think the Americans would do some type of Native American dress.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, you can. I mean, except for, you know, like the 1600s in America, we don't really know because we weren't here, you know, like we kind of know, but we don't know. Like there's a lot more known about Europe in the 1600s before. Right, right. So that's the thing, you know, it's like, yeah, there's like Columbus and there's the Aztecs. And right. So that goes back even like further and further. But, you know, if you go between say like 1000 and 1599, you know, what's that in the Americas?
Well, right.
You know,
so
like, you know, conquistadors and stuff.
Right. So why'd you have to leave early?
Well, it's funny you say that. We ended up leaving early because we were supposed to come help you move. Which, so it was like, I think 1 o'clock or so. And I was like, we really got to go, you know, like We got there around 9 or so, and then the archery event started at like 10:30 or 10:45. Mm. And then it was like, you know, 11:45, 12:45. So we were there for like 2 hours shooting. I was like, oh, we got to go. So then we left and got home, and, you know, we also had to get the dogs and stuff. They were home, so... I sent you a text and I was like, all right, we're about to head up. Where am I meeting you? Are we still at your house moving? Are you? And you were like, yeah, we're almost done. You don't have to worry about coming up. I was like, damn. I was like, damn, I should have texted from,
I know, that's
from
what
the
I,
Bowman. You know, I was like, damn.
That was my point. If it was, yeah. If I would have known you were right. Still there, I would have just said, hey, you know, just stay. It's
yeah, and in my mind, too, it was like, it wasn't just you moving. It was like, we're going to be doing more stuff with mom and dad. So it, already in my mind, before the weekend happened, I had in my mind that, like, it would be all day on Saturday and then some into Sunday. Mm. So it was like, well, you know, if I do a couple hours, 3 or 4 hours in the morning on Saturday here at the event, which we had already, you know, we'd planned for months ago, it would be no big deal. But, hey, you know, when we have a bunch of brothers and, you know, people who can help, things get done quick-ish.
Well, we had a 28-foot box truck, and I think we had 7 pickup trucks.
Damn!
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So we had a one-trip caravan.
That's awesome. And you guys, I think you said you and Caitlin had already filled up most of the box truck with, like, everything that you could carry.
Well, no. We had put about 20 boxes in there, 20 to 30. It was like our living room was full of boxes right. That we had packed.
Right.
And so we cleared that out once, and then we filled it up again.
Gotcha.
So we still had a lot, and there was only, you know, it wasn't much of the truck. But, and I was thinking, man, this truck's so big, I don't think we're going to fill it. Like, I was thinking maybe we won't even need the rest of the trucks, but sure enough. Man, we accumulated a lot of crap. So, just
how does that even happen? Like, you had
a
2-bedroom apartment, you know, like.
But it's, and, I mean, guess it's a sunroom, yeah, and it's relatively big, and we have the sun porch, and we had all the stuff behind the couches, which was
and the furniture,
the shelves that we made with all that stuff, and all it's just so much that we got, and I mean, you could almost think of it as a 2-bath, 2-bedroom house, like it's a decent size, and so yeah, we filled up everything and all the trucks.
Everything.
We
that's
had a huge convoy on the way up.
That's awesome.
Pretty much everyone who came had a truck, so that was it was good, and we just kept pulling them up to the one side of the house, and then down the hill was the box truck. And then a lot of people came. We just busted it out, and I love a one trip move.
Yeah,
I hate going back once you've already done the drive and going back.
Here we go again. Yeah,
I don't care how much it is, but if we could do it in one trip, like there was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But it takes 4 hours to get everything loaded on one side, and then you drive over and you got to unload it for 2.5 hours.
Right.
You don't want to have to go back.
Right.
You know, it's like let me take 6 hours and load everything in as many trucks as we need, and then go over and unload it, and then be done. You know, it's like.
Right.
One and done. Yeah.
So we just had a lot of people ready to kick butt, and we got it all in. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. The parents are still here and hanging out in the RV and doing little things and helping out. And I'm learning more about the house and what I have to do. And,
right on.
And but it's been great. And the dog, our puppy, he's loving life.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm going out all the time. We just couldn't spend that much. I mean, we could, but I just didn't have that much time to spend in the last month. We're packing and doing stuff and crazy busy with work. And, you know, he got outside some and went out, and we'd let him out and take walks. But he's loving it now because he just hangs with me, and we go all over the yard and clean stuff
that's
up.
Awesome.
And he's just running back and forth.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's like, you know, like the move wasn't super expected. You know, it was kind of a last minute thing for our parents. They kind of decided they want to move and then started looking and then offered up the house to our brothers and the rest of our family, like if anybody wanted it. So you and Caitlin ended up deciding to buy their house, which is where you're moving in now. But like you said, the last month, like from probably like the end of August until now, which is the beginning of October. So like through all of September, it's been super busy. Like you've been busy. I've been busy. You know, the move and everything last minute, which is why, like we haven't shot much and filmed much because we haven't had any time. And, right. And actually one of the things that we were going to participate in, which you guys know in the past, we participated in the knife maker challenge on YouTube. There's another knife maker challenge happening, which is the Bowie knife maker challenge. And we haven't really talked about it much because it's kind of a little bit down low, but when we had, Dennis Tyrell and Aaron Lee on after the last maker knife challenge, we talked about doing the Bowie knife. So, you know, I can say that, and that was our plan, was like after doing the projector box, which we finished like the first week of September, was to make the Bowie knife, right? And we had up until now, like we had a solid month, which is more than enough time.
Normally.
But we just couldn't get together at all. You know, and right. I was like, we kept being like, can we do it? Yeah, we can do it. All right. You know, when can we do it? I don't know. When can we do it? You know, like you with baseball and me with work, you know, going back to work and the move and everything. It's just been crazy, crazy busy. So we had to back out of the Knife Maker Challenge, unfortunately. But there are still a bunch of really awesome and talented knife makers that will be doing YouTube videos, which are going to be coming out relatively soon. So we'll talk more about that once they come out. But for all of you that were excited for us to participate in the Knife Maker Challenge, we will not be participating. Although we will still be making the Bowie knife because I've got all the stuff to do it, and that's an awesome build. So nice. I did tell the rest of the guys, like, I won't be able to participate, but when I do put the knife out, which will be sometime in the nearish future, we'll do, you know, we'll shout out the rest of the knife makers and stuff and send people over to check out their videos on the Knife Maker Challenge. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so it'll still get done, but, you know, it's just sometimes life gets in the way and you got to do what you got to do. So,
yeah, we just don't have the time at all. I mean, in moving, I just told Dustin and I was going to come down to his place and record because I just had no room to even put the desk up and get the computer plugged in. But finally today we got everything. We got the internet hooked up and got the desk and the computer. I was, you know, until about an hour ago, I didn't have anything here. So
I think I can get everything set up. You know, you were like texting me like 2 hours ago. I think I'll be able to get everything set up to do the podcast.
I was finding everything for some reason. I packed my computer in 6 different boxes. I don't really understand how that happened, but I'm looking all over the house like, where's, babe, you know where the keyboard is?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Do you know where did I put the monitor? The monitor you have to pack separately, but it was like the keyboard was separate. There were certain like hardware and stuff was, it's just
right.
All
and
over
then
the
like
house.
All the podcasting gear, I'm sure you like had in a separate
box.
Then I had to find
oh my gosh. But that so I tough,
like yeah, yeah.
I found a great use for the neck knife, Dust. I've been wearing that around the house cutting boxes open for the last 3
that's
days.
Awesome. Nice. It doesn't get in your way on your hip, you know, if you're moving stuff around.
Yeah,
you got right
that's
on your
great.
Yeah, that's great. Nice. Awesome.
The only dangerous part is when you pick up your daughter and she's right there at neck height. She wants to grab it. That end, I was using the axe that you made me and I broke, and then we rehung it for the channel. Did we rehang it for the channel?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we did a video on
it. Was it picking a handle? I forget.
Maybe that was it.
Was it the dimension? The
store-bought handle, maybe? Maybe it was that. I can't remember.
I think it might
have been like using a store-bought handle for, how to pick and how to rehang and kind of mod a store-bought handle to make it like a nice axe handle.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been the one.
So I'm walking around the yard looking at stuff. And then to one side of the yard, there's woods all around. And to one side, there's about 20 feet of woods. And then there's a big field.
Right.
And hills and stuff and a really nice view, which I've always liked. But, I mean, you know, some of it, I think the majority of it is the farm's property.
Right.
But I still wanted to clear somewhat of a view out looking there.
Nice.
Now, it's not like I can't chop down a ton of trees and stuff, but I can clear a little bit of an opening so that you can kind of see it from the yard. And there's also a nice path out there. So I just,
that was a good feeling.
So I grabbed that axe. I was like, I can do what I want.
Yeah, that one should be like freshly sharpened and freshly hung.
Oh yeah. Oh, shoot, it was great. So I just I took it out there and went to town. The dog was loving it, and
nice.
we were having fun. It cleared it out nice, so you can see right through. And I had lunch there a couple of times. I just walked out and sat on the edge of the field. It was great.
Yeah, that's a great spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have, like, from that spot, we can see, like, 8 different fireworks displays off in the distance. Like, on 4th of July, we were up there this 4th of July, and, saw a whole bunch. We were right there on the edge of the field just watching all the fireworks displays in the distance. It was pretty cool.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's a good spot, man. That's an awesome spot. I'm glad that you guys got it and that, you know. I'm really excited to, like, see what you do with it because it's just fun. You know, you have this almost like a blank canvas that you know really well. It's right. Like we've known it because our parents have lived there for, what, like 10 years or something?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, probably right before I went to grad school, which would have been in 2008. So, you know, maybe more than that, 12 or 13 years. You know, and they've done a lot with it. Our grandparents moved in, and they actually expanded the house to the second side. So there's like a whole addition, a whole second addition, like double the size of the house and the extra porches and stuff. But the potential of like what could be done is, you know, it's like having a space that you've looked at for a long time. And now you're like, okay, now what can we do that's different that makes it yours? You know, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's my wife has plenty of ideas. There's no lack of ideas.
Yeah, and that's how it should be. That's fun to like. You know, like you said, you got to make it yours because otherwise it's just going to feel like mom and dad's house that you live in, you know? So it's like, right. You got to like, you know, and I guess it's the same thing with Drew and Steph, our other brother and sister-in-law. They moved into my grandparents' house, down in Baltimore County. And, you know, and they did a bunch of stuff too. So like when we go in there, it no longer feels, even though like my dad grew up there and then we grew up as kids, you know, we always went to our grandmother's house and now Drew and Steph live there. So, you know, it still has that feeling you're familiar with the space, but it feels like their space.
Right. So. Yeah. And, we're going to make it nice and we got plans and, but the yard is sweet and I've been enjoying it.
Right on, man. Sure. That's awesome. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Let's see. I'm writing down a timestamp. You were getting a little glitchy, and I want to make sure when I go back and check the time to make sure it doesn't sound weird in the recording.
Okay.
Maybe it's that country internet you got. But
hey, I talked to them. I'm supposed to have good internet.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds fine so far.
Man, I got the sketchiness of internet companies. Never ceases to amaze me.
Right.
I'm always assuming they will, and they always hold up their end of being sketchy. And like the first woman, I said, look, I don't want cable. I'm the house is canceling cable. We just want internet. And the first person quoted me $120 a month.
Right.
When the deal we had before was $100 for cable and internet, obviously it was up to like $150, blah, 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 blah. But $120, I was like, what are you talking about? And
just for internet. Yeah.
Just for internet. Get out of here. And they, I have all my own gear. So they're like, oh, they'll bring it down this much. But then I talked to another woman. She starts at 40.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
I was like, so which one is it? So I had to like figure out. You always have to like ask a million questions to these people.
Yeah, right.
Trying to figure out what's real, why, and blah, blah, blah. And when will it go up? I know in a year it will go up. So how much will it go up? And then 2 years we'll jump up again and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we got a pretty good deal, but I'm definitely checking the speeds to make sure they're
right
where they should be.
Exactly. If I'm paying for certain speeds, I better be getting those speeds at least 90% of the time. Like we understand there's like, you know, slowdowns for random reasons. That is what it is. But, you know, that should happen the bare minimum of amount of times.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So, cool, man. That's awesome. So, tomorrow's your birthday.
Birthday.
Happy birthday. Yeah. Thank you. So, today is Wednesday. We're recording a day earlier than we normally do because tomorrow is Devin's birthday. So, we'll be going out. Any other plans for the day that you have so far other than just still, you know, unpacking boxes?
We got some errands to do. I got some stuff to go and buy. We'll just have a nice day. We'll go get some lunch. And then hopefully we all got to dinner.
Right on.
mom, dad, you, and the family, and some of the brothers, and maybe our buddy guy will come down. Right on. Go get some Mexican, but just have a nice fun
evening out,
day, yeah. And then I'll grab a couple beers and come home, spend some time with the wife. I'm going to watch the new Dave Chappelle stand-up, and
all right.
It'll be a good night.
And then go to sleep and wake up and go to Maker Camp.
Yeah, yeah, get up early, so yeah. It's fine. It's good stuff.
Nice.
That's awesome. And I've been buying so much stuff, camping stuff from Maker Camp, just because I have stuff, but it's always been. So the two types of camping I go on are family camping, right, where we do kind of
just car camping, so tent sites.
Right. Yeah. All nice, big blow up stuff, real nice tents. Yep. We always have hot showers nearby. There's always some type of lake or swimming. Right. And you know, we do really nice.
Yeah, that's from a lifetime of acquiring camping gear. So we have like everything we need to live almost like we're at home, but in the woods.
Right. And then the other camping I've done is some winter camping with some buddies, and then there's like drinking camping where it doesn't really matter. Half the time I would just crash with someone. I had like one sleeping bag, like, hey, can I sleep in your tent? And
just, yeah, right. You know, by the time you go to bed, you're not even going to be thinking about
it. Bed. Right. It doesn't
you're just
matter.
Like collapsing and going to bed. Yeah. And you wake up the next morning and you keep drinking. Yeah. Drinking camping. So I like that.
Yeah. So there's that. But just straight up real, like, cool weather camping where we're going to have to. Make a campsite, even though it is car camping, but it's a little rougher, and you know, we're gonna have our mattresses and stuff. So I was looking for pads, and I was looking for warmer sleeping bags than I've normally had, and things like that. So I bought a bunch of stuff. So I guess that's I've been buying myself a lot of little presents because while you're there, I'm like, well, I want extra this, and I want a new Frog Togs like a waterproof suit thing, and a
yeah, right.
And this, I want that. Oh, this is cool. So I've just been buying all types of camping gear. And
nice. And outdoor gear and stuff. That's sweet.
Yes, I got a new sleeping bag and pad and everything. And I'm
all right, nice.
Ready to go.
What'd you get for like an air mattress? Did you get something like
that? I didn't do air mattress. Cool. I just got a, I might end up using one of yours, one of the small ones. But I just got a camping pad, like a fold-up light foam pad thing. And I'll probably bring some blankets along. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, you were saying you would be using ours anyway. So we had I have a full size or like a single. And then I have I have a couple other ones, but the ones that we normally use is the single, which is about 3.5 or 4 feet wide. That's usually what our daughter uses. And then we have it says it's a queen, but it's more like somewhere between a full and a queen. Cause it's kind of small for a queen, but it's plenty good. So those are both newer ones and hold air really well. They don't leak at all, so we'll be set.
Yeah, cool.
Cold weather camping it's a little different too, because you got to make sure you have enough warm stuff underneath you, because you can easily get cold at night because you don't have like that insulation underneath of you. So, but I'll be bringing a bunch
and of comfort. That was the thing I wanted. I mean, I have a queen air mattress too, but I didn't necessarily want to. I don't know. I didn't want to bring that. And I feel I've done it before and I got cold. Like I have done winter camping trips where we had air mattress and it just was so, that air under you, man, it gets really cold sometimes, even if you have stuff under it. So
I was just actually
some pads and some comforters and just stacking them and laying on that. Cause I sleep pretty good wherever. And especially when we're working all night and shooting and, we'll be drinking and hanging out and having fun. Yeah, I'll just pass out and
crash. Yeah, yeah. There's we went camping in maybe April or May, so it was like one of those times of years where it could be warm for the weekend. It could be like 80 or 90, or it could be 50 or 60. And this particular weekend was like the 50 or 60s weekend. So we went, and at night it got down into the 30s. And the first night, Nicole and I were pretty cold on our bed. Like we had, like a couple of fleeces and something below us and a sheet. And then we had, our comforter. So it was on top. The top of us was plenty warm, but the bottom was cold. So the following night we had just an additional sleeping bag that was our friends. And they ended up leaving because they had, our friends, Kate and Sean, have an infant. So it was a little cold for him. So they ended up leaving a day early. and gave us their like two person sleeping bag, which we just like opened up and put below us. So it was like one more layer, and that made all the difference having that one more kind of comforter layer. So so I'll just be doing that. I'll bring like I'll make sure we you know I have plenty of layers for underneath of me, and then a couple layers for on top as well, and I'm sure it'll be fine. It does say that I was looking at the weather for East Durham, New York today, and as of today, Wednesday, October 6th, in East Durham, New York, we have, let me check again, I think it's like 60s, D-U-R-H-A-M-N-Y, we have for the next couple of days, Friday should be a high of 67, a low of 49, mostly sunny. Saturday is a high of 59, so we're looking at about 60s throughout the day, and a low of 50, so it doesn't get too much lower at night with about a 25% chance of rain. And then Sunday is about the same, 58 to low of 60 or a low of 50 with a 25% chance of rain. So it may be a scattered shower here or there, but, you know, 25% could be nothing. You know, you never know.
Right.
But I think it's going to be awesome. So but it is going to be about in the 60s throughout the day, which is perfect for me and for you, I'm assuming. You know, it's like weather where it's like cool and you can wear like a sweater if you want, or you can like take it off if you're working and just be in a t-shirt and jeans, and like it feels perfect, or even like shorts sometimes, you know, like it's the perfect weather for big guys. Like 60 degrees, that's perfect for working outside, hanging out with people. I love it. I'm excited. Yeah, it was like when I went to the Timber Inn in July, it was like 85 and super humid out, or like 80 and humid, and I was just like sweating my ass off the whole time. It wasn't even that hot, and I was just like concentrating and working. And when I get outside and I concentrate and I work, it's like I just start sweating. I can't help it. So I'm excited to have a nice cool weekend.
It's gonna be awesome. Yeah, me too. You know, we'll have boots and long pants and stuff, and shirts and button ups and all types of stuff. And it'll be, it's perfect weather for that stuff.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
Yeah.
All right, so I have. Since it's your birthday tomorrow, I figured I'd look up some of the famous people that share a birthday with Devin, October 7th. Do you know any of that off the top of your head that you know of?
Yo-Yo Ma?
Yes. Yep. Yo-Yo Ma is one of them. Yep.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. I know when I saw that, I was like, sweet. That's awesome. Yo-Yo Ma. Nice.
And I think that's the only one I remember, oddly enough. There wasn't any huge ones, I feel like.
So there are some pretty big ones. So the number one, I'm looking at thefamouspeople.com. So people that share your birthday, if I get past all these advertisements, what the heck? Get out of here. I hate stupid advertisements. Number one is Vladimir Putin. So
okay. All right.
The president of Russia.
Powerful, powerful
born
man.
Born in 1952. He's from St. Petersburg, Russia. He is 5'6". Yeah, so he was born on October 7th. Simon Cowell.
Oh.
What's that? The America's Got Talent. Mm-hmm. He's also born in 1959 from the UK. Number three, we have Heinrich Himmler of the Nazi Party.
Oh my.
A Nazi commander. He was born in 1900 on Heinrich October 7th. Himmler.
Oh, geez.
He died in 1945. He was 5'9", born in Munich. In the Kingdom of Bavaria, Germany. And then we got John Mellencamp. So John Mellencamp.
Oh, the Cougar.
51, yeah. John Cougar Mellencamp, the Cougar.
He was the worst part of the Farm Aid show we went to.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we did.
Who gives John Cougar Mellencamp an hour set? Wrap it up.
Let's go. And then
there's
we got
Willie Nelson and Neil Young coming up. Let's go, pal.
Exactly. Yeah, Nathaniel Rateliff, Alabama Shakes. Like, get out of here. Mm-hmm. Come on. Let's give them more time. We got Tom York, the singer-songwriter. Was he in Radiohead? Is that Tom York? It looks like it.
Tom, yeah.
Elijah Muhammad, the religious leader from...
Oh.
Yeah, born in 1897. Dang, born, he died in 75. Man, right on. He had a long life. He was 6 feet tall. Tony Braxton, American R&B singer.
Tony Braxton.
Let's see. There are some other good ones. Let's let's see, where are we? Are we? Mookie Betts, baseball player from, I think he's on the
Red
on
Sox.
Red Sox, yeah. Yep, Mookie Betts. Was. 5'9".
Should Red Sox just beat the Yankees in a wild card game?
Yeah, that's right.
So the two enemies of the Orioles.
Yep.
Duke it out. I don't know who to root for. I guess you root for neither, and you're happy at sad fans on either side.
You said Yankees won or Red Sox won?
Red Sox won.
Okay. I guess I was kind of rooting for the Red Sox over the Yankees.
Really?
I don't know, though. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they're just as bad now.
Yeah, no, they are just as bad. But we got Charles Woodson, football player, born in 1976.
Is he a basketball player? Charles
Woodson. He is football.
Okay.
Maybe Raiders or something. Desmond Tutu, anti-apartheid activist from South Africa, born in 1931, 5'10". Yo-Yo Ma.
Yeah.
Born in 1955, he's also 5'10". He was born in Paris, France. The cellist, Yo-Yo Ma.
Cello.
And let's see, anybody other cool? We got a bunch of other names on this list, but I'm trying to find ones that people would recognize. Right. I think that's it. I think that's all the good ones. But that's pretty good. Like, that's a pretty good list of famous people who were born on October 7th. The 33rd Vice President of the United States, Henry Wallace. Good old Wallace.
Yeah. Wallace.
Oh, Nathaniel Rateliff. Speak of the devil.
Really?
Nice, yeah. He was born in 1978 in St. Louis, Missouri.
78.
October. Yeah, Nathaniel Rateliff.
Oh, man.
Hey, take it easy. It's not that old. Yeah. Bobby Brown. Bobby Brown. Wait, that says makeup artist. Bobby Brown, the makeup artist. Evan Longoria, another baseball player. Mm-hmm. There's lots of sports people in here, but...
Evan Longoria.
Oh, Michael W. Smith. The musician. Yeah, okay. I'm just going down the list. I'm up to 55, but not that interesting. But there you go. So,
hey, well, those are good. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, no, those are good ones. Yeah, no problem. Those are fun. I have, like, Lord Nelson, and that's the only one I can remember.
Okay.
Born January 22nd. We'll have to wait until January to find out who was born on my birthday.
Putin, Yo-Yo Ma, and Heimlich Himmler.
All right, well, I think that's all we got, man. Oh, I could do a little teaser. So next week on the podcast, we will have Justin Dietrich, who will be one of our returning guests. And so he'll be back, and when he comes back, we will be talking about the podcast. We'll be talking about Maker Camp. And it looks like I lost Devin. And how long? Just now. I just lost him. So maybe he his audio was weird. But I lost him, but we were finishing up anyway. We'll see if he can come back in. I'm not sure if he can join me, but maybe he can. Maybe he can join back in. But, yeah, we'll have Justin Dietrich back on. And at that time, we'll be talking all about Maker Camp and what happened and the timber frame that we put up and all of the shenanigans that we all got into. And at that time, then we'll see. You'll have a little bit more of an in-depth look into everything that happened and what I got from the Maker Swap, which would be really sweet. So, either way, it's gonna be awesome, and we're really excited. I definitely lost Devin. And it looks like I'm still recording, though, so we'll see. We hope you guys really enjoy this. It's been a blast. We are going to, make sure that we keep on putting stuff out each week. Sorry, I'm a little, like, flustered because Devin's texting me, and he's, like, trying to join back in, and I'm trying to, like, tell him to join back in but also keep talking. So we'll see what happens. So, all right, so it looks like he may be back. Devin, are you back? I can see you, but I can't hear you. Well, he's joined, but I can't hear
him. Test 1, 2, 1, 2.
There we are. Now I can hear you. I got you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, there seems to be two of me, though.
I can only see one, and you sound okay on my end, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. If it's real funky, it's right at the end of the podcast anyway. It's no big deal. So I was just I was telling the listeners about our guest for next week, Justin Dietrich.
Oh yeah,
and how we'll do a fun follow up to Maker Camp, and he's heading up the timber framing structure and that end of the whole thing, which I think is going to be a ton of people participating in that.
Oh, it's going
to
be
excited to help put that together.
Yeah, that I think awesome. That was one of my thoughts. Like, man, I want to do as much as I can on that and really be involved in raising that thing. And that might be where the GoPro comes in handy. We'll sit that and do some type of time lapse, and we'll get our get our hands dirty.
That's gonna be awesome. Yeah, I'm gonna bring my. I have a nice Osage Orange mallet that I made a bunch of years ago, which has got some good weight to it. So I was thinking maybe we could also bring the mallet, the like handmade mallet that we made here too. So on the channel, we can bring them. You know, having some big things to like hammering, because there's gonna be a lot of like joints coming together and you know, pegs going through. So
you know,
marking knives.
It might be a good idea for us to have like a duffel bag.
Of
tools. And maybe it could also be camera equipment.
Yeah, right on.
You know what I mean? Then we could just know, you and I could both know, we have everything in there.
Right, exactly. And I know there's lots of campsites, so I'm sure we'll be able to get a campsite. I'm hoping that's not super far away from everything happening. So, you know, if we need to walk back and grab something and come back, it'll take us 10 minutes or something. So,
yeah, I don't know how close it all is. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I only saw, when I was there, I only saw like the campsites that are as you're driving into the Blackthorn. So you're kind of coming down this tree wooded road, and then on the right side, there's some campsites that go all the way up, leading up to like where we had the timber framing stuff. So I know there's acres and acres of more campsites other than that. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure where they are. I never went further into the resort. So, but there are apparently lots of them.
All right.
So, yeah, I'm sure we'll be able to find something fun. It's going to be awesome. So, yeah. So, we'll have Justin Dietrich on next week, and we'll do an awesome wrap-up to Maker Camp and talk all about what happened and all the shenanigans we got into and all the people we met and connections and relationships we have built on. And
ruined. It's burned. Exciting.
And ruined. Yeah, right.
Oh, boy.
All the people we insulted. I was actually talking to J.C. Messer. He sent me a message because I shouted him out a couple weeks ago. And he sent me a message saying that he was talking to Roy from Vintage Axe Works about, like, he was saying to him that he should be a guest on our podcast. And Roy was like, yeah, it'd be great. No problem. Sounds cool. Like, you know, I'll chat with him, whatnot. And, you know, Roy and I have talked and messaged back and forth a few times. But he was like, I was like, yeah, I'll see him up at Maker Camp. You know, I'll talk to him then. And Messer was like, yeah, when you see him, tell him to eat a dick from me. I was like, all right, I'll do that. I'll be sure to do that. That's like all those guys' relationship. They're all just like, you know, this fun, like insulting. That's just like that, the dude's relationship, you know? So that's funny. I was like, I'll make sure to do that. JC Messer says eat a dick. There you go. Yeah, no, that'll be fun. All right. Well, I think that everything worked fine. Like I said, I think I lost you for like a minute, and I was kind of stumbling through because I was trying to like see you were texting me, and I was like, I'm not sure what happened. So it should be fine. But yeah. So I was saying before, you know, just make sure you guys don't forget to follow us on Instagram. We'll post a bunch of stuff there. I'm going to try to do some more stories during Maker Camp on Instagram, so that way you can see what's happening. You know, we'll just be keeping in touch with people and letting them, you know, showing fun things that are happening and updating you that way. And then head over to The Art of Craftsmanship on YouTube and subscribe there. Like and send messages and comments. I forget which video it was. Somebody, one of the big YouTubers that I follow, but someone put a comment on one of their videos that said, this is for the algorithm. And that was it. Like, it was like a comment just to put a comment, and it was like had all these likes and all these laughs and stuff on it. I was like, that's great. This one's for the algorithm. You know, like, they know when you comment, it helps to like push the videos. So
it does.
Like, what a fun comment. That's great. So go over there and let us know what you think about the videos. And if you want to support us further, head over to Patreon. You can support us there, and that makes a huge difference. Or you can just share the podcast and tell more people about it and send people our way. That makes a difference too.
What's your recommendation?
My recommendation.
Skip past it.
Thank you. I know, right? Going right to the end. Recommendation for this week is Niels Ogren, and Niels is a blacksmith and axe maker, over in Sweden. Swedish axe maker and YouTuber. He has a YouTube channel, and you can find it that way too. Niels Ogren, N-I-L-S-O-G-R-E-N. And on Instagram, it's at Niels Ogren. But he does really awesome axes. He's been forging axes for only a couple years and just really beautiful work, doing some double bits, doing some more like bearded Viking axes, and then just kind of standard forced, you know, kind of Grandsforce Brooks style axes that are just really beautiful. He's got, you know, just a great style and does some really awesome stuff and has that kind of Viking feel to a lot of stuff he does too, which is really fun. He also just recently had a little baby girl, I think it was. A little baby boy. He had a couple months ago, maybe a month or two ago, and so he was out of the forge for a little bit, you know, taking care of his little baby boy. But now he's back and doing some more stuff and posting videos. But he does some really awesome stuff. He, I don't know how close he lives to Torbjörn Amon or Oman, who's another awesome blacksmith YouTuber. Like, does some really clean work and really awesome videos of blacksmithing. But I know they work together on a few videos and a few different axes and stuff. So he's got some good people around him, and he's making some cool content. So go check him out. Again, that's Niels Ogren, at Niels Ogren on Instagram, and Niels Ogren on YouTube. Go check him out.
Very nice. I want to apologize that I don't get enough, like, people recommendations. It's just because I don't follow necessarily the same type of people Dustin does.
Mm-hmm.
The Art of Camera Guy does, just because I like to see what's going on in our community, but that's not necessarily the people I'm always watching and consuming for content. I don't have as many of those.
Yeah, but I think that's also the nice thing about having the two of us doing recommendations, because a lot of times you'll recommend like a good book or a movie or something, and I'll recommend a person or a maker or, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a good balance of different things.
Okay. Well, thank you. Oh, actually, I am recommending a tool today.
Oh, nice.
It's something I bought on a whim at Home Depot. And maybe I can look it up. It's a cobalt ratcheting screwdriver.
Okay.
There's a lot of ratcheting these and that and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But it's you hold it in the middle, and that's the ratcheting area, and you spin the back like you would a normal screwdriver, but because of its gears, it goes 6 times faster.
Whoa.
So every turn is almost, it's like 6 turns.
Nice.
So that's the awesome ratcheting action, and on top of that, the part you gear hold action is left or right, you just slide it up or down. But it's
sweet.
Really nice, and it's only like, I don't know, between $20 and $30. And it's the size of a normal screwdriver. And once you find something like that, it's like, why am I using normal screwdriver sets? This thing is awesome. Right. You just hold it, and I crank it back and forth, left and right, like a normal ratchet, and it continues in the direction you want it to, right?
Right, right.
So if you're loosening up something, a screw in the wall, you're just going left, right, left, right, left, right, and each time is like 6 turns.
Right.
So, voot, 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 and 3 or 4, it's out. And I used it so much, getting all the screws out of the walls and everything and breaking down stuff and building stuff during this move. It's so nice for $22 or whatever it is.
Yeah. It sounds like a really good, like a homeowner tool.
Mm,
you know, something that when you're going to be doing a lot of stuff around the house and mm-hmm. making things and mm-hmm. putting up things, you know, it's like there's a lot of tools like that are kind of gimmicky that are really designed specifically for like a single purpose. But, you know, and like when I use a screwdriver, like a handheld screwdriver, it's to put a screw in that's like small and I don't want to mar the end of it, you know, something like that. If I'm going to do anything more than that, I'm going to use a drill.
Right.
So, but having something that is like quick and easy that you don't have to worry about a battery, that you can do all those kind of household mm-hmm. screw things with,
mm-hmm.
that's the one thing that you want to keep in like a toolbox that's in the like pantry. In
exactly.
The kitchen or something.
It's for,
you know, that's like it's a really convenient thing to have around that you don't have to go grab your battery powered drill to do that. You know?
Right. And right. Nice. And it's a hand thing, so you're not going to overcrank something, or it's just really
right,
nice.
Yeah.
It's something that, yeah, if you're looking into that type of stuff, get yourself a little bag of tools for the house. That it's awesome.
Right.
For putting screws in walls and anchoring stuff in and building furniture, it's really good.
Right on. Is Kobalt, is that like, that's Lowe's brand? Is that
I think it is. Yeah, I said Home Depot, Cobalt. But I think it is Lowe's. Right. It's with a K.
Kobalt. Yeah, the blue. Yeah, I think that's their brand. It's like Rigid is Home Depot's brand.
Gotcha.
It's like they have their
It's brand. Solid. Cool. I mean, I don't know. Nice. I haven't used it that much, but I've used it for probably 6 months, and it's really cool. On.
Yeah, nice. I thought you had just gotten it recently, like for the move, but
no, I just bought it on a whim. When I was there, I was like, "Oh, this is kind of nice." Blah blah blah. Because I had always had the drill gun,
kind of, the little cranky, the little hand,
and I love that. I love when you set gears and pulleys, basically, right? You set it up smart.
Yeah, right.
To where you're working and it's working for you. It's doing something. So I always like that type of thing. And I had been looking for something to replace it, and I think this has.
Sweet. Right on. Yeah. That's awesome. Nice. Yeah, that makes the recommendation better that it wasn't something you just bought recently. It's like something you've had for a while and
Oh yeah,
I can honestly recommend that it's like a good product.
I might not be making maybe you wouldn't use it for big projects, or you're not gonna build a deck with it. But it's
right.
Yeah. If you're gonna throw it in a bag of things to have for like in the house, accessible. It's 6 times better than a Phillips screwdriver.
I could say honestly that it's at least 6 times better.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Right on. That's awesome. Cool. All right. Well, that's it. So did our recommendations. Thanks for reminding me of that. We almost missed that, but we snagged it in right at the end. So
we will see. Hopefully there's some of you guys listening. If you do see us there and you do see me following with Dustin with a camera, say hello. We want to chat to people and be involved. So come talk to us. We are ready to get down and enjoy ourselves and get dirty and have some fun and meet people. And we are excited.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So hopefully we see a lot of you there. And if not, you will be able to catch the Maker Camp follow-up podcast next week with Justin Dietrich. It's going to be awesome. So thank you guys all so much for listening. And we will talk to you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.